Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The mission of our church is straightforward and straight from Jesus. We're tasked with making disciples, and we do it by making caring connections with each other and with those in the communities surrounding us. And this directive sounds simple enough. Go and make disciples by caring for others. But it becomes complicated and messy the very moment you take your first step. Here are a few examples that come to my mind. What exactly is a disciple? Am I even one? And how do I make one? And wait, before all of that, how do I even find a potential disciple? And when I find one, what do I say? And what if they don't respond the way that I expect them to? Or what if they do respond and become one of those overly enthusiastic new Christians that won't stop calling me? You see, it can get messy very fast. And this messiness can, if left unresolved, become a stumbling block for us to responding to the commission given to us by Christ and adopted here at our church. And in the end, it can leave us paralyzed, unable to even take that first step. And so this is one of the reasons why we have been very intentional about discussing the mission and the vision over these past several years. And as the church, the world, begins to reopen, we have resumed our conversations, and we meet even a couple of times a year to collaborate together and discuss what it means to fulfill our mission. And we answer the questions together about what a disciple is and how we are called to develop them. And our aim is to ensure that no one feels paralyzed with uncertainty about what Jesus wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. Now, I bring all of this up because I want to use it as a backdrop for the passage from Acts, our first reading from this morning. And here it is again. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to a woman to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who is a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." and she prevailed upon us. Now this passage, as we read it, it doesn't seem like Paul had any ambiguity about what made a disciple. And he clearly wasn't paralyzed in any kind of way. Indeed, he had a vision. And immediately, he answered that call and left for Macedonia. And once there, he happened upon some women who were praying. And he conversed with them. And a woman named Lydia overheard the conversation. The Holy Spirit opened her heart and she was baptized. It doesn't seem to get any more straightforward than that. There seems to be no messiness to it at all. But there was, actually, quite a bit. Here are some of the things that we didn't read surrounding that passage. See, before the trip to Macedonia, Paul and Timothy were prohibited by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel into Asia. And then they were held back again when they tried to travel to modern-day Turkey. And this is where the passage picks up. Through a vision, they're called to this remote location under Roman rule. And what follows after this account is Paul and Silas getting arrested and beaten with rods and thrown into prison. And then, of course, there's an earthquake. Prison doors that open miraculously. A jailer who wants to commit suicide. Paul who intercedes. And then the jailer's baptism. And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. It would seem then that Christian discipleship is going to be messy. There's just no way around it. But the goal is not to escape that messiness, but to see the Holy Spirit's work and guidance throughout and in that messiness. And when we do that, we can learn to embrace it, or at least accept it, because we know that it's a sign of a healthy and active Christian life. And so how do we do this? Well, I offer three main ideas. And these are ideas that are presented in our passage this morning, specifically around the baptism of Lydia. And the timing couldn't be more perfect today because we will celebrate the baptism of baby Henry, and we can see these same ideas surrounding his life as well. And the first that I want to draw your attention to is the collaboration between the Holy Spirit and the various characters in this passage. You see, Paul's desire was to spread the gospel to Asia and Turkey, but the Holy Spirit directed him to Macedonia. Now, he was free to ignore the promptings of the Spirit, but he didn't. Instead, he responded to those promptings and followed where he was led. We see a similar situation between the Holy Spirit and Lydia. While Paul was preaching, the Holy Spirit was prompting her heart open. And this led to her baptism. Now, what about today? How might we collaborate with the Holy Spirit in our own lives? In these past few years, they've given us ample opportunities to do just that, to make disciples. We have been invited into a partnership with the Holy Spirit as we engaged with our current culture and the stresses and the pressures between various groups of people. We've been offered opportunities to bring the message of the gospel into the lives of people whom we may not have agreed with, but who were just as nervous as we were. And just because the pandemic seems to be disappearing, that doesn't mean that the opportunities are as well. There are still great political and cultural divides that we can use to introduce and reintroduce people to Christ. Now, the second concept that's illustrated in this passage, it's one of relationships. You see, Paul didn't bring God into Macedonia. God was already there, already working in the lives of Lydia and those around her. You see, what Paul did was simply meet Jesus where he was at, where he was already working. And then he participated in the work that Jesus was doing. You see, it wasn't Paul that found Lydia. It was Jesus that found Lydia. And he just used the Holy Spirit to lead Paul, not just to her, but into the messiness of her life. With just this chance and simple interaction, Paul became involved, even if it was brief, in the life of Lydia. And because of that, heaven won a new convert. See, the goal is to announce and give witness to what has already been done. And to do that, we have to be interested. We have to get involved in the lives of those that we spread this message to. And when we take time to create these relationships, we can then share that Jesus has died for the sins of all and has risen from the dead, and that we are free to live in the promises of eternal life that this reality offers. But we can only do that when we get involved in the messiness of a person's life. Now, the third concept, and the one that is most comforting to me, is that this is invitational. The Holy Spirit invites us to participate in Christ's work. He invites us into these sometimes messy relationships with people around us, so that we have the opportunity to tell people not just about the work of Jesus, but even more than that, to facilitate a personal connection directly between God and that person. We get to show them who they truly are. They are children of God, adopted and loved. What a wonderful invitation the Holy Spirit has given to us, that we could be a part of His work. All this to say, so when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and when we see our role in making disciples as collaborative, relational, and invitational, the messiness no longer interferes with the work that we're called to do. We're able to participate in the work that the Holy Spirit is already doing in the lives of those around us. And so we can reach into the community and make real connections that will help others recognize their true identity, an identity that was given to them by God. And when we see that it is not our work that brings about success, but the Holy Spirit's work, and when we see that it's not our goal to convert, but to be messengers, then the anxiety and the hesitation melt away. And we no longer become distracted by the messiness of our commission. And to me, that's comforting. What about for you? Please pray with me. Lord, help us to serve your people for you only. Give us humble and pure hearts that we may show love and grace to your people as you have shown to us. Let us serve you and others unselfishly and wholeheartedly. We ask that you keep us grounded daily in you, in your ways, and that we may be worthy representatives of you. In your name we pray. Amen.